The same God that gives us breath to breathe gives us breath to sing, to praise Him. Jesus, at one time, as He was coming into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, they laid down palm branches. They were praising the King of Kings. They knew somebody special was coming. The King of Kings was coming. Those that had a heart to see Him, they couldn't help but praise Him. And they would praise Him. Jesus said there were some that were gnashing, that were not, they were wanting the praise. See, that's what the devil wants. See, he wants the praise that God gets. And that's where he fell. But Jesus said to those that were dignified at what He were doing, He said, if they don't cry out, He said, these rocks would cry out. Because the King of Glory, the same Creator that created those rocks, was riding by. Amen. Well, that same Creator created you and me and has given us a voice of praise and thanksgiving. And that's a part of our history. That's why these settlers came here, because there was something on the inside of them that would not be silenced. It was the praise and admonition that they wanted to give to God. Amen. And this country's been through some hard times, some dark times, some bad times. Well, guess what? It's time for some good times. Amen. Amen. Good times. Let's not look at the world. There's darkness. There's things happening. Terry told us about that. But we don't focus on that. We focus on the light that's on the inside of us. That city that's set up on a hill says cannot be hid. Lisa can't be hid back there. She's shining. I don't care what the clouds look like outside. When Lisa walks in, sun shines here. Amen? Because Jesus is on the inside of her. And she's changing. These kids, when they see that, they're drawn to that. Love draws. Hate, envy, darkness, it always compels. Pushes people away. It's the goodness of God that leads man to repent. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Are you ready? The last couple of weeks we've been talking about being tempted. Temptation. Brother Reed shared a little bit. I was there previously the week before. And we had a wonderful time at the beach. Ruthie's actually continuing on. She just didn't have enough at South Carolina. So she just went all the way to Panama City, Florida and said, I'm going to go way down here and send you some pictures back. But Shannon, who has shared with us here in song and ministering, her family invited Ruthie to go. And you know what? You just can't turn those things down. You pray about it. But we might not see Panama City, Florida. So why should I hinder her from going? And their home was opened up to her, so she's having a good time. She's sending back some pictures and just carrying on. So I'm going to carry on a little bit more, maybe one more Sunday here with temptation, because getting through November, we're getting ready to step right into Christmas, and we're going to focus on the Lord's birth, Him bringing salvation to the earth, and we're going to glorify the King of Kings, celebrate His birthday next month. So we're just going to kind of start focusing on those scriptures going into the Word. But when I was thinking about temptation, what message the Lord was giving me and ministering to me, I just thought about getting out of temptation. You know, temptation is going to come. We don't have to get into it because it's going to come. We don't need to be chasing down, you know, thinking, well, if I can get a big temptation, that means I'm going to get a big reward. No, don't be chasing temptations. Because the trials and tests of this life, they're going to come. But what I want to do is I want to get out. When that temptation comes, I want to know the way out. So I want to praise my way out. Sometimes you got to praise your way out. Amen. Right, Terry? We just had to praise it out this morning. And we're going to get some things, whatever we need here, we're going to get it on the wall, get it whatever we need to do. But it's not going to hinder us from receiving what God wants us to have. And that's a good life and a good day. So, praising your way out of temptation. Just three areas to cover real quickly this morning. We're going to talk about the effects of praise on the believer, the effects of praise on the devil, and the effects of praise, this might be a little, on God. How does praise affect God? Let's look over to the book of Hebrews in your New Testament. Somebody tell me what the book of Hebrews is about. Faith. Amen. That's a faith chapter. Faith book. Hebrews. Hebrews 1 and 9 says, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." Now this, we're talking about Jesus. This is what God did to Jesus, for Jesus. Praise to the believer, it cannot be optional. It has to be the normal Christian way of life. Yes. It's not optional. We got to praise continually. The Bible says, "I will let praise continually be in my lips, be in my mouth," because God is always out to do us good. That's what he was trying to get to the children of Israel in the wilderness. He was wanting to get them to praise him. Had they praised him 40 days, they wouldn't have been in the wilderness 40 years. I tell you what, amen?
Amen.
You know, Moses was, I'm not sure if I've shared this, Moses was on the mountain with God 40 days and 40 nights. That presence took him 40 years with a stiff-necked people in the wilderness. The glory of God, it helped him go through. What he learned in those 40 days with God, it carried him through 40 years. Amen? So praise cannot be optional. It's got to be the norm. Let's look over in the book of Colossians. Talking about praising your way out of temptation. In the book of Colossians chapter 2. And this is talking about the believer now. This is how it can affect us. Chapter 2 verses 6 through 10. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the anointed one, and his anointing." And what did we just read? He was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. In other words, Jesus didn't have a bad day. Amen? He was carrying anointing of gladness, of joy. Jesus took a bad day somebody was having and turned it into a good day. Because the anointing of joy that was upon his life anointed him, and that was given to him by God. So if God gave Jesus joy, guess what he's going to give you? Joy. Unspeakable. And full of glory. So don't say God's giving you temptation, test, or trials. No, he's giving you joy that you can have in that temptation. Praise your way out of it.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
And that's an anointing that will come upon you if you'll let it. Amen. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him." Walk in that joy. Walk in that praise. "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith." This faith walk is a praise walk. Fred Price is famous. "We don't walk, for we walk not by faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith." That's carried, that was the cornerstone of his ministry. In his ministry. "Established in the faith as you have been taught." Dr. Price has taught you faith here. We're continuing on that vision. Teaching faith. Preaching faith. "As you have been taught, abounding in it," and what? Thanksgiving. You can't be thankful unto God and not have a heart of praise. Amen? And that's a good way to check your spirit. It's a good spiritual dipstick there for your faith. How's your faith walk? If you're not praising him, guess what? You're going to be getting weak. You're going to be getting weak. That's why you got to praise him daily and not weekly. Because you're going to be strong all week. You know, Cecil and Terry, we know about oil. If you don't put oil in a car, if you don't check it but once a year, guess what? That thing, unless it's a new car, I've got a truck that's got some years on it, it's getting hungry, it's getting weak for us. It needs some oil. It needs to be refreshed, refueled, and refired. I need some good stuff. Drain out that old and put me some new stuff in. We need to wake up every morning and praise the Lord with a new song. Amen. Praise him with a new song. Temptation comes. Joy. What is it? What's the scripture there? Something comes, but joy comes in the morning. But joy comes in the morning. Amen. That temptation is only for a night season. We got the praise on. Joy's coming in the morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise and thanksgiving is a way for us to abound in faith. If we're weak in an area, if something in our life is being hindered, it's time to get the hymnal out. Get to the book of Psalms and start praising Him. David's a good teacher to teach you how to praise the Lord in hard times. Amen? The boy went through some hard times. So walk in Him, rooted and grounded in faith and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, the way of thinking, and vain deceit after the tradition of who? Of men. Now, if it's a good tradition, if he's teaching, if he's inspired of God and teaching you, that's good. But if it's a philosophy, just a way of thinking, don't go that way. That's going to steal your praise. If somebody's not giving you something to praise about, it's probably not coming from God. Amen? After the rudiments of the world and not after Christ, the one that was anointed with joy. For in Him, in Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. So in God there is no sadness. There is no sorrow. There is no weeping. There's joy, continual joy. We lose loved ones. We get sad. But if we know where they went, we get glad. See, God doesn't want us just to stay in an area of grief. Grief is not good for a long period of time. We mourn the loss of a loved one. But if we let that mourning turn into grief, then the devil can come in and steal your joy and steal your praise. And next thing you know, you're checking out of this world prematurely. Well, God needs soldiers here in the earth to carry on. Amen. In the Old Testament, He would send out the praise team in front of the army. Amen. See, God knew some good strategies. I think, you know, if our army would come back to that, but they would have to be established and rooted and grounded in the anointing one. See, that was God. That was the children of Israel. God was their king. See, they knew some things about God. So you got to know some things before you do some things.
Yeah.
Amen. But if we had that integrity, I mean, if we were rooted and grounded in that and sent our soldiers, the praise team out before our soldiers. I mean, we got a good army. We got a good system now. But I'm saying there's always room for improvement. Amen. And we do have the guys out there praying. We are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. That's the effects a praise can have on a believer. Flip on over. You're right there close. Let's go over to the book of Philippians. Now, this is the effects of praise on the believer. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 4 through 6. Philippians 4, 4 through 6. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. How long?
Always.
Always. Again, I say rejoice, just in case you didn't think he meant that. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Not rejoice for all things, but rejoice in the Lord always. Because, see, God's not bringing bad things, but if we can rejoice in those bad things in the Lord, not don't rejoice in the bad things, rejoice in the God of my salvation.
Amen.
David was in lots of, he was in arrays to where even his own men, and they were men that were just, I can't think of the word right now. They wasn't the chosen ones God wanted him to have. The best ones were still in Israel under Saul. So David kind of got like the second or the thirds. But you know what? They didn't even at one time trust David anymore because they lost their women. They were losing the war. They were just beaten on every side. David said he encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
Amen.
See, David learned as a young boy out there in the wilderness taking care of some sheep. His brothers, he was the run of the family, you know, David. So he never amounted up to what their brothers thought he ought to be. But you know what? His focus wasn't on his family. His focus was on God. And that's where God trained him out there, him and God, out there around the sheep. Trained him. He heard the voice of God. That word is what is why he was able to say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men that the Lord is at hand. Be anxious, fearful for nothing, but in everything, that means every circumstance, every temptation, by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And when you do that, you're praising God. See, you can't do that if you're not praising Him. And if you're praising Him and giving Him thanksgiving, then verse 7 says, and conjunction comes on with what's happening, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. You can't do this in your mind. You got to do it in your heart. That passes all understanding. That peace will guard your heart. That's your life organ. Amen. That's where you hide the Word of God, in your heart. That is your source of everything God has given you. That has got to be guarded. It will. The peace of God will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Remember when Jesus told Peter, "Peter, devil, the devil, Satan wants to sift you like wheat." He says, "But I've prayed for you." He's saying, Jesus told Peter, "I'm guarding your heart." Amen? Christ Jesus is guarding your heart. Continue to praise Him. That's your way out of temptation. Praise forces us to keep our attention on God. Surrender. Get those hands up. Praising Him in the sanctuary. We're keeping our attention on God instead of the problem. And I love the example Andrew Womack gives, is talking about if you'll take binoculars. You know, if you focus on, you take a binocular, you kind of looking through the little end, you see things, it brings it close up and you can see things better. Well, that ain't what you want to do to your problem. What you want to do, you want to flip those binoculars around and you want to look out the big end, and it makes your problem just kind of shrink. See, that's the way we need to focus on God. When the temptation comes, we need to see, magnify God, praise God with a cheerful heart, and then that problem will just, it'll just vanish. It'll just disappear. Amen? That's what praise does to the believer. You praise your way out of temptation. You praise the Lord with your voice, with your guitar, with your psaltery, with your harp. Guitar is pretty much about the same thing as a harp. I mean, we don't have a lot of harps, but we have a lot of guitars. I'd say pretty much in this vicinity, in the area. All right, that's the effects the praise can have on the believer. That's enough right there. We just kind of just finished church right there, couldn't we? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to take us through a couple more effects, because we need to know these other two also, because we got an enemy out there. He don't want you to know about what praising does to him.
That's right.
Amen. He's wanting you to go to sleep right now in church. Wake up. Wake up. Because this is important. The effects of praise on the devil, and he is your enemy, not God. Psalms 8 and 2. David shows us a little bit here. Oh, can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God created us to praise Him. Praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime, praise Him when the sun goes down. I remember singing that when my kids were little, on those little praise tapes. Psalms 8:2 says, let's read 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. I think that's where Old Beautiful come from, ain't it, Mark? Had a big stem right there, didn't it? Oh, Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Verse 2, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger.
Yes.
What is David saying right here? He's starting out praising God. Oh Lord, oh God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Your name. Jesus is the name above all names. We worship Him, we magnify Him, we praise Jesus. This is why we start, this is why traditionally in our churches in the United States, we start out with praise and worship.
Yes.
Because what we're doing, we're stealing the avenger, the enemy. See, we came in, I came in, you came in with all these thoughts that's been bombarding us all week, or all night, if you didn't sleep all night, guess what? This is where we come in. We start praising God, and the enemy has to flee. It steals the enemy. It steals the avenger. We're focusing on God. That's why we can't focus on things that happen in the church. If the projectors go out, if the music, if the soundboard goes completely blank, we'll bring Mark up and Tammy up. They can sing a cappella. And then we'll just join right in. Lisa will grab a hymn book and she'll turn to a page and we'll continue on. Because that's not what moves us. It's God's heart. It's His Word that moves us. Amen? This is why we preach. This is why we teach. Tammy says Wednesday night she enjoys. This is what God has given her to do is teach. And when she does that, she's filled with joy. Amen? When you're doing what God's called you to do, it brings pleasure. It brings pleasure. Hallelujah. Lord, oh God, how excellent is Your name in all the earth. Out of the mouth of babes, You have perfected. Jesus said, You have perfected praise. Also, what it does, He was also saying, You have ordained strength. See, praise is strength because it steals the enemy. That's your weapon. That's one of your weapons. Amen? It's praising God. Praise is a powerful weapon against the enemy, and it will bring you strength. See, it defeats him, and it builds you up. That's what praise does. Even the doctors understand this and really are starting to come around to it. They'll tell you, they'll go into a hospital, and they'll let you know, well, her spirit's down. We need to get her spirits up. What they're saying is we need to get a praise level up. Because if somebody's got a reason for living, their body will come in line with that. Because it was our bodies were created to live, not die. Amen? There's a scripture that says, I will live and not die. I will proclaim the Word of God. I will live and not die. I will live and not die. What does praise do to the devil? Look in the book of Isaiah. It's in your Old Testament here back a few bit. In front of the book of Psalms. Isaiah. Right after the book of Proverbs. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah had a lot to say. He prophesied a lot of the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. Isaiah 14, verses 13 through 14. Let's look up in verse 12. Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. How you are fallen from heaven. This is talking about, O Lucifer, son of the morning. That used to be the devil's name. Used to be. How you are cut down to the ground. You who weaken the nations. For you, this is how he got cut down to the ground. For you, Lucifer said in his heart, I will ascend up to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. On the farther sides of the north, I will, here's a lot of I wills, ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Why does praise defeat Satan? Because his sin was jealousy. Pure and simple. Pride. Pride at its root is just, you know, a lot of times you think about pride, well, I'm always wanting something, I'm better than somebody else. Pride in its root is just, you're just selfish. Just selfishness. What, it's all about me. What can I do? That helped me a lot knowing that, because a lot of times you can get in pride on the big end of it or the little end of it. You know, you can say you're such a humble person. Well, I don't need God to bless me. I've got all I need. That's pride. Because, see, if you've got all your needs met, let God bless you so you can bless somebody else. Amen. See, that's taking you out of the factor. That's factoring you out. Because God wants to get money through you, so you can get it through you. Amen. To bless others. He don't want to bring it through the wicked. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for us. That's right. He wants the just out here putting his money, investing his money in good things, God things, so that we can be a nation that God created us to be, a thankful nation. Amen? Yes. a thankful nation unto Him. They say they want to take God out of everything. They don't know what they're saying. They're deceived. Amen. They are deceived. They're deceived by the God, little g, of this world, the devil. Because you get God out, you get the praise out, then you're going to have turmoil in your life. That was the sin of jealousy. For Lucifer said in his heart that he will ascend. He wants God's position. God doesn't share His glory with anybody. That's what the Scriptures tells us. That glory is for Him and Him alone. But guess what? Once you receive Jesus, you have the fullness of the Godhead bodily on the inside of you. Amen? In other words, God's saying, we don't get it through pride. We get it through humility. Jesus didn't come here to serve, to be served. He came to serve. He was a humble servant. That's the highest form of praise. Amen? It's giving all the honor and glory to God. Humbling ourselves. This is the reason we always start our service with praise and worship. And we got Terry's doing awesome here. Leading us and taking us in. Doing what he needs to do to get the devil out of the plan today. Amen? And the devil has to flee. When the praise comes in, the devil has to flee. And what happens? The anointing of God is released. God's anointing, God's power, God's ability. See, now you're able to hear clearly what the Lord is saying. You have a clear mind. See, we're focused upon God. We're being still. It doesn't mean we're not moving, we're not thinking, but we're being still. We're focused on Him. Now, God's speaking to you. God's been speaking ever since we started with praise and worship. But see, what we're doing when we're praising Him is we're opening up our minds to hear and our hearts to hear, to be clear. He's taking away all the noise. Amen. We're praising Him. We're praising. He has inhabited our praise. He's right here to lead us and direct us and guide us. So this is the next step here, step three of a three-step process. You're like, man, we're getting toward the end. Praise never ends. Amen. I'm just getting to the end of this service, but our praise never ends. We're going to leave this place praising. Amen. We're going to praise Him. I'm going to praise Him. Hallelujah, because He's given me a heart of praise. The number one reason for us to praise the Lord, let's get there before I go there. Let's go to the book of Acts. This is what we're going to act like. We're going to act like we know how to praise Him. Amen? We're going to be good actors. Acts. I'm not a dancer. I don't claim to be a dancer, but I can praise God. Amen? I used to make a fool of myself on the dance floor. And there was a lot of fools out there with me. Because they thought they could dance too, but they wasn't dancing at all. Only thing that made us look good is because we had some alcohol in our bodies and we were deceived. That's what alcohol does to you. It deceives your mind. Makes you think you're looking good. You ain't looking like a fool is what you're looking like. Looking like a fool. All right, I done lost. We're going to Acts. Acts. I used to act like a fool. Acts chapter 13. Now my wife, she could dance. And guess what? She didn't want to dance. I said, let's dance. But she didn't want, you know, because you're looking like a fool. But she could dance. But she never wanted to dance. Now Dallas, he can dance. And Rowan, he can dance. Amen. They got it. Acts chapter 13, verse 2 and 3. Now in the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Verse 2, here's the key now. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit's speaking to you this morning. He's saying something. He said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Verse 3, then having fasted and prayed, guess what? They were there fasting and praying and ministering unto the Lord, praising and worshiping God in a church service. They could have been loud. It could have been normal. They're just praising God. They're just worshiping. They might have been praying in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, singing new songs, singing in the Spirit. don't tell us exactly, but they were praising and worshiping. They were ministering unto the Lord, not to each other. They were ministering unto God with a joyful heart, singing praises unto Him. And guess what? The Holy Spirit said, you can be praising God and He can be speaking to you at the same time. And the prophet said, see, when the Holy Spirit spoke, He spoke to the prophet. The prophets were seers. There's still prophets in the church. Amen. We are a prophet and king to the Lord, priest and king to the Lord. You can see some things. God will show you some things. And after He spoke to the prophet, and the prophet said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul, guess what? The Bible teaches us in Corinthians, when a prophecy is brought forth, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to judge that prophecy, whether it's of God. So after the prophecy was spoke, verse 3 says, then having fasted and prayed, they fasted and prayed some more. And they laid hands on them and sent them away. See, we just don't guess this is what God's doing. No, we pray. We worship Him. And the Holy Spirit says, He speaks through Terry. He speaks through Tammy. He speaks through the body, through the prophets. And we all can prophesy. There's an office of the prophet, but we all can prophesy. God is there to use each one of us if we're usable. He just wants us to be usable. And we speak. And then when that word comes, then we pray about it. We're praying and worshiping God. If it's correct, we lay hands and then boom, they're gone. Had it not been, they would have judged it and said, brothers, I think we need to have another meeting next Sunday. We need to pray about this more so if that had not been God's will. But no, they felt the peace of God. They felt peace about it, laid hands, and look what we have today. We have 2/3 of the New Testament written by Paul because he was obedient to the prayer that was prayed that day. Amen. I've had hands laid on me, and I'm thanking God for the areas He's taken me to. Just being thankful and obedient unto Him. Amen? He's leading you. He's guiding us. This is what the effect that praise and worship has on God. He speaks to us when we're praising and worshiping Him. He's speaking to us, giving us direction and guidance. And He's stilling the enemy. As they minister to the Lord, the number one reason for praise, for us to praise the Lord, is that it ministers unto Him. And what I don't, as ministers and as believers out here ministering on your job, at school, wherever you are, don't get caught up in, or don't get stuck in a rut to where we think ministry is all about what I'm doing at church, how I'm sharing the word, how I'm teaching Sunday school. That is ministry, but our number one focus needs to be ministering unto the Lord. Because, see, that's where your strength comes from. That's where we are perfected in God. And we know the gifts. That's where we learn who we are in Christ. See, Jesus prepared 30 years before He went into the ministry. If you want to look at the full-time ministry. Well, He was in full-time preparation. Amen? And then look at the ministry He had. Man, it was awesome. So don't never neglect that preparation time. First the blade, and then the corn, and then the full corn in the ear. Talking about the growth, your growth. Don't never belittle those little times learning in Sunday school. And then if you, like me, you never kind of went to church, don't think you got to go back and catch up on all these years. No, God can do a quick work in you. Amen? It doesn't have to be 10, 20, 30 years. This is just the life that Jesus had to operate in. He did everything according to as it was written of Him, prophesied of Him as by the Jewish law and traditions. What was it? When you became 30, you became a son of the law, right? Is it 30? I know at 12, He became it was the bar mitzvah. So it's different areas that Jesus went through and hit it perfectly. But when His time came for Him to be anointed, even before then, He had a joy of gladness on the inside of Him. He wasn't a bully in school. He was a blessing in school. Amen? Amen? And that's what our kids are. They're not bullies. They're blessings. That's what our Sunday school teachers teach them here. Our children's ministers. They teach them about how Christ in you. Amen? Amen. The hope of glory. Amen. To go out here and tell stories about what God did in church. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate to me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work whereto I have called them. God speaking. See, we got to be in the calling God has called us to. And we need other believers praying and fasting and believing that we hit that calling. Amen? So the Bible tells us not to surround ourselves with godly influence. To counsel, we need godly counsel. Just don't take any counsel. Take godly counsel. Amen? And we got good counselors here in this church. Lisa, she's got a degree in counseling. She's teaching counseling. So you got a problem, you check her out. She got some answers for you. Amen? She's a blessing. She hears from God. This was an act of praise and worship unto the Lord Himself. And remember, I've said this before, you can't give somebody something you don't have. Amen? And if you don't have that praise, guess what? You're not going to give a praise. But if you got that praise on the inside of you, and you got to keep that, you got to keep your oil, keep that lantern lit. Amen? You got to keep that fire, keep it flamed. Keep that praise going. I used to remember Jim Howard, my pastor. He would talk about, you know, his, and he's about like me too. A lot of time our Bible colleges, as we're working, because both of us worked and drove a lot in between jobs, but that was our Bible school. We got the DVDs in. We got the teachings in. We listened to other men and God that's in the Word full time, and they're teaching and preaching. And boy, that's our Bible school. We learning right there. We praising God. And then off to the next job. And that's our training. That's our preparation. That's what we do. So it's important when you leave here what you do with what you know. Amen. Keep your praise on. Because it steals the enemy.